Erev Tov, today's Amuna Raisa, Yuma Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. Yuma Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. Just a quick review of yesterday's Amud. The bulk of it was really historically going back to Gavriel. We had mentioned the end of 2 days ago's Amud. We mentioned that Gavriel says to Daniel, Vani Vasi, I'm coming now because Bidvarecha, because of your words. What exactly was that? What does that mean? What it means was that there was a moment in time that Gavriel was sent out Mechir Apargad because he threw the fiery coals. In Yechezkel's vision, he threw the fiery coals on Yerushalayim, on the people that misbehaved, but he didn't come properly to the defense of Klal Yisrael, and therefore he was kind of pushed out of his job. And for 21 days, the Dubiel, Malach of Persia, took over, and he actually was able to somewhat implement some sort of head tax on the people. It wasn't finalized, but then when Gavriel came back to defend them, and to stop this tax going into effect against these Talmidei Chachamim, that was like, you know, his ticket back in for defending Klal Yisrael. So he got back in, and the way he defended it was, he said, if you take all the Chachmei Umas Eilam, put on one side of the scale, and put Daniel on the other side of the scale, would he not outweigh all these other Talmidei Chachamim, wise people of the Umas Eilam? And Akash Baruch said, who's this that's coming to be Melamed Tzchus on my people? Oh, it's Gavriel. And he let him back into the inner circle in the Bezen Shemala. Okay, that was that long Gemara. That was much of yesterday's Amud. So the latter part of the Amud went back to further sources that Rechitza is Asur as one of the five Inuim on Yom Kippur. We already had a source for Rechitza 2 days ago together with Sicha. Then we had a new source yesterday that Rechitza is Asur, and the source was relating it to David HaMelech because it says David HaMelech engaged in five Inuim. David HaMelech engaged in five Inuim. And therefore, one of them was included was the lack of rechitza. The Gemara explained the lack of rechitza came from the word ayif. We proved that ayif means lack of washing, of rinsing. Okay, that was another source for rechitza. And then the Gemara brought that same general idea for Nilsa Sandal, that David HaMelech also had, he went yachaf, and we brought a proof that yachaf means without, literally barefoot, it means barefoot without shoes, and that was also an inu. So the last inu we're up to now is the Baam of the Amud, is Tashmish Amita, not in relations. We're going to prove that Inui and get back to what we started discussing yesterday about whether the effectivity of these sources, the Psukim and Navi, could just be Giluyim to what the word Inui means. But again, is it in Daraisa or is it in Darabanan? We spoke about the fact that there's a Machlokes about that. We'll touch on that again shortly. Let's pick it up from the bottom of Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. Tashmish Amita the Ikri Inui Min Aleph. How do we know that Tashmish Amita is called an Inui? Refraining from Tashmish is called an Inui. Tichsev, Lavan tells Yaakov, when he took Rachel and Leah's wives, he says to Yaakov, "Imtanas b'naisai v'imtikach nashim. If you are going to be ma'ana, afflict my daughters, and if you will take wives in addition to my daughters." So it seems like there was two tainas. There were two tainas. One taina is imtana. If you're going to afflict them, and we touched it to mean, if you're going to afflict them by refraining from Tashmish Amita. And the second tain is, Imtikach Lashem, if you're going to take wives, you're going to take additional wives. So it sounds like it's two separate tainas. But one of them is being Menea, holding back Tashmish Amita, is an Inui. It's a riot to our purposes. Says the Gemara, top line of Ayin Zayin Amabez, Imtana Mitashmish, Vimtikach Mitzaris. If you hold back from Tashmish, and if you take other wives, other tzaris. That's the two separate ideas that Yaakov seemingly, that Lavan was telling Yaakov, which is a riot that Tashmish is an Inui. We're at the top line of Ayin Zayin Amabez. And this Gemara started from just about Amud Aleph. We just started bringing a proof that Tashmish is an Inui, or refraining from Tashmish. Ask the Gemara, no, maybe it was one sentence. Maybe I divide the bin Taurus. Maybe what Lavan was telling Yaakov, both lines were to say to refrain from Taurus, meaning Im Ta'ana and Vim Tikach. What would mean, why would you need two lines to prevent from Taurus? So the Farshim explained that actually, let's see. The Mara first says, I'm getting a step ahead of myself. First, on this line, what the Mara is simply saying is that maybe it's one sentence. If you afflict my daughters by taking tzaras, nothing to do with Tashmish. The Mara says, no. Miksiv imtikach, v'imtikach siv. It's not one sentence because it says, imtane, v'imtikach. The Vav is saying it's another idea. So don't be ma'ana and don't take tzaras. It must be two separate ideas. The inu in the context is not the taking of the tzaras. Now the Gemara suggests, as I was going to a moment ago, ve'ema I divide with tzaras. Maybe they both are talking about tzaras. Why would there be two levels? Because there's two types of tzaras. Let's not forget, Lavan gave over Rachel and Leah. He also gave to Rachel and Leah Bilhah and Zilpah, their shivchis, right? Their maidservants. They went and gave the maidservants to Yaakov as pilakshim to be able to have more children. So maybe Lavan was giving a double warning. There's two separate warnings within Tzaras. One warning was, don't take other new wives. And the second warning was, even not new wives, don't upgrade, don't elevate the Pelagshim into co-wives. Leave it just as Rachel and Leah, as your wives. Don't take new additional wives, Bechlau, and even to upgrade the existing Bilhah and Zilpah into proper wives, don't do that either. So maybe that's where the two lines are, and nothing to do with Tashmish. Says Gemara, one Tanai was to prevent from his own Tzaras, his existing Tzaras, meaning the Bilhah and Zilpah, the elevating them, and one was to include taking brand new Tzaras from the veld. Dim tikach, like it says in tikach, like taking new wives in addition, says Gemara, miksiv imtikach, means so both of them are related to this idea of tzaras and nothing to do with hashmash. Gemara says no. Miksiv imtikach vimtana, you say the bigger issue first. Does it say imtikach, if you take new wives, vimtana, or bima'ana by upgrading the bill on zilpa? It's the opposite order. It says imtana, vimtikach siv. It's the wrong order. If it's referring to what you're referring to, it should have written in the opposite order. The fact that it wrote in this order must mean one is talking about inoy of refraining from tashmash, and a separate inoy, and one is talking about inoy of taking additional wives. Okay, says the Gemara. So that's the source of inoy. Answer our question. We're not satisfied yet. Amir papala baye. But we have a pasuk the opposite way, that the act of tashmish, not refraining from tashmish, the act of it is an inui. Tichsiv, fayishka vayisavi anea, vayit over there, by that same story, but this is a little later, after Dina grew up a drop, and she went out to see the place of Eretz by Shechem, and Shechem ben Chamar went and violated her. It says, vayishka vayisavi anea, he lied with her, and he was ma'aner, he afflicted her. Over there, the affliction was having tashmish, not refraining from tashmish. Now, there's an obvious taina. The obvious taina is, that if it was, somewhat coerced against her will, so of course, the same thing that's a einig, it's still today like that. Something which a woman very much appreciates, marriage, that's what it's a demonstration of a hava, can be the most terrible, horrible experience if it's forced. Now the truth is, it wasn't mamish forced. It wasn't mamish forced. We know maybe it was a pitoy, maybe it was a little bit not a physical coercion, but a mental coercion, because maybe it was a pitoy that Dina was a mefuta, right? But the point is that it's the chiddush, the Gemara's question, bachlal, that we're asking, that why do you say that tashmish, holding back for tashmish, is the inui? The inui is having tashmish. Very fair to say that as a question from Dina, because Dina wasn't necessarily a classic example. The Gemara says over there, Amalei, hasim she'inu b'yasacheres. The Gemara still sticks with that thought process and says, you know what they did to her? He wet her appetite, and then he held back from future bias. And that itself was an inui. The Gemara is sticking with the idea that holding back from tashmish is an inui, but he started, and then he stopped, and that itself was an inui. Very interesting shak v'tayah, very shver. I don't have an answer how we don't just say, even Rashi Chumash says, Vayishka Vaysa Kedarka, Vayana Shloi Kedarka. It was an inui because Shloi Kedarka. I mean, there's elements of explanation that there was part of it that was not willingly, or was it for enjoyment? That's what it means over this. Of course, if it's not willingly or for enjoyment, that's also an inoy. It's a different type of inoy. But why is that a kasha? The Gemara doesn't say that answer either. The Rishonim actually discuss something else. So what was the Gemara's taina? Let's think for a second. We're saying you have to have chamish shenuyim. And the last of chamish shenuyim we said was tashmish. And we try to bring a proof that refraining from tashmish is an inoy. And we seemingly successfully brought a proof. Nevertheless, we have a question now that we're showing that tashmish is itself an inoy for nashim. So is the Gemara trying to drive at that an isha should be mechuyev in the Gemara's havmina, mechuyev to have tashmish on Yom Kippur? If tashmish itself is an inoy by Dina, we see it's an inoy, it's an affliction. So you have to have tashmish on Yom Kippur. It'd be a very mudna outcome that you have to have tashmish on Yom Kippur for a woman. And for a man, it's still not an inoy. So for a man, it would be asur, and for a woman, it would be not just mutter, it would be obligatory, which is bechal, a wild concept. Some of the shayim seem to say that maybe that the havmina is, that's a havmina, obviously, it's not a maskana. Maybe nashim have to have tashmash. Again, how that play out would seem to have some technical issues. Okay, besides the Gemara, ultimately, we defended it, and we finished with our five inuyim. We're sticking with the fact that tashmash inuy is an inuy because it's refraining, because we see from Lavan, and therefore that's the fifth of the inuyim. Okay. Tanaban. Interesting leniencies within some of the inuyim. So two of the inuyim were washing oneself, or anointing oneself. Says the Gemara Braisa, which is going to have some kulas. Also, luchayitz mixes gufay, kakol gufay. First of all, the isra of washing is even a part of the body, like the whole body. That stays the same. But if he was dirty with like mud or dung, like something disgusting, he could wash like normal. The spot where there's dirt, and there's a lachamaisa. The spot that there's dirt that's disgusting, you could wash like normal. You don't have to worry. Meiri explains, because such a washing is not a pleasurable washing. The issur of washing is because you're not supposed to have you're supposed to have inay affliction, you're not supposed to have benefit, pleasure. But stam clean off something that's dirty, it's not a pleasure. It's just normal. And therefore they're allowed to do. Similarly, but it's slightly different. When it comes to anointing also, this is even any part of the body, the equivalent of anointing the entire body. However, if he was sick, or he had a scab on his head, he may anoint in the normal way, normal fashion, to take care of the chayla, the illness, or the scabs, and he need not be concerned. Now, the first point out, the very big difference. We see when it comes to rechitza, if he's dirty, he can clean himself up. You don't have to have like a chayla, sickness. Dirty, clean himself up. When it comes to sicha, it has to be the next level. That he was a chayla, only then you could do it. The logic is because sicha, by definition, is already a pleasure. Washing itself is not the greatest pleasure. It's a pleasure, but as long as you just do it to clean yourself, not a problem. Anointing, by definition, is a little bit of a tainug. It's a little bit of a tainug anointing, and therefore, if a person's in pain, and it's there just to stop the pain, then it's allowed. Otherwise, it wouldn't be allowed. Now, there is a discussion that in general, one is not allowed to be engaged in refuah on Shabbos. Why? Because a person takes pills on Shabbos, Xera, he may come to, if he takes medicine on Shabbos, he may come to grind some money, may come to make medicine on Shabbos, which is a malach of the rice of grinding. So Chachamim were guys, especially a sick person, was scared, could lose himself. So a regular sick person cannot get medicine. If a person is really sick, I don't just mean really sick, like he has to be in the hospital. If he's sick, then he goes into bed. He's a chayla she'em by sakana, but he's sick enough to go into bed. He's neifel mishkav. So he says such a person can yes take medicine. Fine, the gzeiros drabanan, they relax over there. But otherwise, he can't take medicine. So why over here is the sicha going to be permissible? That's the question the Rishonim address. L'chayra Yom Kippur is the same as Shabbos. Why is it permissible? The answer they give is that we find by Shabbos things that are done by healthy people are not a problem of gezeira shkik samanim. So for example, and this example always comes to my mind, that if a person has a toothache, and sometimes if people want to swig a little bit of a scotch or whiskey, right, and or bourbon, in order to numb the pain in their tooth, so on Shabbos they could do that, even though normally refuah is aser. But since people drink whiskey, have a l'chaim regardless, so it's not nicker that's being done as for food purposes. Someone wants to eat, maybe a more common example, chicken soup for a cold. Right, people eat chicken soup every Friday night. So the fact that someone's eating it because they have a cold is not really nicker. That's for it's called machal briyim. It's lashon mishnah. It's something that normal healthy people do, and therefore that's not a problem. So here too, we're talking about a sicha that people obviously non chaylim would also do, and therefore it's okay. The chiddush is on Yom Kippur no one does sicha. So, but it's a separate issue. We can't confuse the issues. One issue is the issue of inoy, right? So we have to split up, make alumnus. One issue is the issue of inoy. That Yom Kippur, inoy is not a problem because the guy's a chayla, so it's not a problem to anoint. Narvas, problem of refuah. Refuah is only a problem if it's something that healthy people don't do also. But if healthy people during the week anoint themselves in this manner, then that wouldn't be a problem either. Okay. Tana, Debe Menashe. The Debe Menashe taught as follows. Reb Shimon Gamil Eimer. Reb Shimon Gamil says, Medich ish yadav achas b'mayim. A woman can wash her one hand in mayim, then ascend as pasal tinnik, and give bread to the tinnik. We're going to see shortly, there's a concern about a certain shade or a certain ruach ra called shifta that comes on a person who's feeding food without washing their hands. So a woman's allowed to wash her one hand, she only needs one hand to feed the child, wash that one hand in water, and feed the pasal tinnik. Then a chashash should not be worried about the isser of washing your hands on Yom Kippur. Amr love al shamay azakin, say about shamay azakin, shtay rots lachal biyadei achas, they don't want to feed the child with one hand. And therefore, v'gazor lavachil lachal b'shteyadayim. Therefore, the regards on him to feed his child with two hands, just so he shouldn't be, you know, you don't want to wash his hands, you don't want to feed the child, the problem of this ruach ra, if he doesn't wash his hands, the regards on him, wash your hands totally and feed the child. My timer, what's the reason for washing your hands? Amar abayim mishim, shifta, because of shifta, again, shifta is some sort of ruach ra. It's interesting, from Rashi, it seems like we're talking about that the person had to wash his hands b'chlal. Taisus just addresses and says, it can't be that it's tamazay washing hands b'chlal, because everyone wakes up in the morning to have to wash their hands, and we're allowed to for ruach ra, that you can do anyway, regardless. It must be that there was a special ruach ra that used to come when they used to feed child, and Taisa gets more specific, dafka when they fed a child who's of the age of 4 or 5 years old. There was a ruach that used to come and kind of attack over there. So Taisa, that's what we're talking about specifically. This is more specific than what we said from Rashi necessarily, but the idea is that it's to prevent from this ruach ra, and therefore you're allowed to wash the hands. Again, it's not a pleasurable wash. It's a wash just to get rid of that ruach ra, and therefore it's allowed to be done. The first point out today we don't seem to be makbed. We wash negavas in the morning, but certainly after. But after that, maybe if we eat ourselves bread, we wash. But before feeding a child, we don't wash this special washing of the hands. And they say because we don't find this ruach amongst us anymore, therefore we're talking about makbed. That's the Rishonim, Tais already brings that we're not makbed on it bezman hazeh. Okay, fine. Says more further. We're already starting to see, by the way, if the person is dirty, we're seeing some leniencies within the inuyim. If the inuyim, and we're going to see some more bigger ones coming up now, if the inuyim were deraisa, more difficult to have these leniencies in the inuyim. This is in deraisa. You can't do these things. You could say the Torah didn't mean when you're mamish beluchluch, when you're dirty with tit, like the Miri says, that's not pleasurable, that's just cleaning yourself. But let's see, we have some more cases now where we're allowing people to go into water, and we're not worried about the fact that he's agav, bathing himself, doesn't bother us. Let's see. Tanabon. A person who goes to greet the presence of his father, his Rebbe. Or someone's greater than him. Now, what's interesting is we're talking about Yom Kippur. It's not the type of activities that Bezman Hazeh. I think we have a very different, a slightly different Seder HaYom in our minds of Yom Kippur today than it was back then. I'm not saying good or bad, just different, right? Now, visiting a parent, especially an older parent, a Rebbe, we understand you go visit to make sure they're okay when they're fasting, but it's not in our minds a day of going to be mekabel p'nei rabbi, and yet it's born in Shulchan Aruch, it's born in Halacha, this idea that it's a big inyan to go visit the rabbi or the father on Yom Kippur, okay? He's allowed to go up to his neck in water, and he's not cheshish for this isser of washing on Yom Kippur. Again, this starts to get to this, again, it's not as intent, but it's more than that. It would seem like there, if you hold the inuyim are rabbinic with asmachtas, then it's a little more geshmak, that these things are rabbanon guys around. These are good reasons. Guys going to do a mitzvah supersedes this tinder rabbanon. If it's daraisa, it's a little more of a chiddush. Okay, weiter. Ibayalu. We spoke about a time going to the Rav. Just by the way, going back to my point about the Seder Yom being different, depending on what time you start davening, where you daven, you go into yeshiva, most yeshivas, there's not enough time to go, you have an hour break maybe, not enough time to go, depending on when the Kippur falls out in the year, but not enough time to go and visit the Rebbe. It's like you go through a pond of water, you have to go, come back, not enough time, Pasha, to go. If you dive in maybe in an earlier minyan and not a yeshiva minyan, if you go to a fizika minyan, maybe then you have a couple hour break, maybe then. But for most people, most miyanim, do not even have the time to do this, and it seems like it goes a regular normal thing. We'll see more like this. Okay, but before we see other cases, here's a similar shayla. We spoke about Talmud going to Rebbe. What about the other way? Ibalu, Haravet Talmud Mai. What about the Rebbe going to the Talmud? What's going to be the lach over there? And the Farshim explained that it's not the same level of mitzvah as the Talmud going to the Rebbe, but the Rebbe going to Talmud presumably will teach him Torah. So maybe that is enough of a reason. Tashmaz being a raya. Dam Rav Yitzchak Bachana. Ana Chazisel is Iri. I saw Ziri, who's the Rebbe. Does the Rebbe Chibar Ashi enter the Rebbe Chibar Ashi Talmidei is Talmud on Yom Kippur through water? Rav Ashi Amar. Rav Ashi says no. The story was opposite. Who Reb Chiya Bar Ashi? Who does? Well, that was Reb Chiya Bar Ashi who went to the Ziri Rabbi. Went to Ziri, his teacher. It was the Talmud to the Rebbe, and therefore we have no raya. We leave that shayla thus far unresolved. We'll get back to that in a second as well. Says Gemara one more din along this along these lines. Rav Ashar Levim Avar Yamina Lemevek B'Mayel Laturi Peiri. Rav allowed the people of Avar Yamina to go through the water to go guard, check up the fruits in their orchards. This is not a very Yom Kippur type of activity. I guess it was a Dover oven. There was apparently big theft problems, a big issues. And they allowed them on Yom Kippur to go check it. So Abai says, Rav, very nice. Tanya Maselach, show me Paris, Ivan, Ad Savar, Mamayim, Ben Cheshin. He says, I have a Bryce that backs you up. The Bryce says very clearly that those that are going to wash the Paris are allowed to go through water up to their necks in Mayim and don't have to worry. But here's the qualification. Rabbeisav Sharley, Luvnei, Beitarbu, Lemeva Maya Mesa Perker. Basif allowed the people of Beitarbu to pass through water in order to come. Sorry, this is not for the payers, this is come to the shear. To come to the shear in Yom Kippur, he allowed them to go through the water to their neck. But to go back home, to come to the shear, fine. But to go back home, no real excuse to go back home, and therefore stay here till the end of Yom Kippur, you don't have to go back home. Not a good idea. Next year, they're not going to come back to the shear. If they know that when they come to the shir, they can't leave and go back home, next year they won't come to the shir in the first place. Better to leave and go back home. Like this next year they'll go back to the shir. Famous, this is the basis for the psak. We spoke about earlier in the psakta for what? Very good. This is the basis for psak for Hatzalah. That Hatzalah members are allowed to, they don't have to stay downtown or uptown wherever they go to take someone to the hospital. They're allowed to come back. It's two svaras. One is also in case other chalila emergencies happen in the Jewish Gegen over Shabbos, they need to be available. But more than that, let's say you have plenty of its all members, you're not going to need any more. You're not going to miss that one that already left over earlier on Shabbos. If you don't let him come back, next time he'll be more hesitant to go, and it's going to cause a pikuach nefesh situation down the road, that's a big svara in the heter and the leniency to allow them to come back. They have ways, by the way, just to be clear, to make it down to abundance. They don't come back. Not machal Shabbos, but there's even to abundance. We have ways to. They have setups ready with taxi drivers and people to bring the cars back. They don't do any malacha themselves in coming back. But the point is that even the leniencies of Durabanans and having them get rides, you know, with Amir Lakam or Derek Ramiza is all because of this, based on this Svara. Okay. Ikadami, some of the Shaka Vatari is just slightly different. Same general idea, but our version was Rabbi Yosef didn't let them go back, and Abaye said you have to let them go back, otherwise there'll be a problem. According to this version, it was Rabbi Yosef himself who explained that's why he lets them go back. Let's see. Rabbi Yosef originally allowed them to come and go back home. Abaye was one that asked, Bishlam Mezil Lachaya, and see why you let him come. Come to learn Torah. It's a mitzvah. That's great. Elamezil, my time, why you let him go back? Kadesh Leite Machshil Lazlavi. In order that Rabbi Yosef answered, in order that it shouldn't be Machshil Lazlavi. So it wasn't a bias svara, it was a bias question on Rabbi Yosef's own svara to let them go back. Okay, a couple points on this. So first of all, we see clearly this notion of for a mitzvah, for a davar oven by the payrus, we're allowing the rechitza, we're ignoring, it's not intent of rechitza. The guy's going in water, not for the intent of rechitza anyway. And he's doing a tzarech mitzvah. That seems to be okay. When it's a Rebbe to a Talmud, we weren't sure. We left that unresolved. The case of Rebbe coming to visit Talmud, but Talmud visiting the Rebbe or Davar Avid, that was permissible. So again, like you pointed out, the Ran brings this, I didn't say it was before, but the Ran brings this as a, the Ritva brings this as a Raya, that the four Inuyim outside of Echil and Shziyah, Darabanan. The Darabanan, Midaraisi can't eat and drink. The other four Inuyim Midaraisi are okay. The Darabanan said it's us. So these are Asmachtas, everything we have till now. And therefore, in these cases, the Darabanan relaxed their din. It fits very well, very simple reading of this Gemara. You just have to say all the Gemara's till now. Before that, we're Asmachtas. Whereas the Ran says no. The Ran says, Avada, they're full Daraisis. And the Drushas are real Drushas. What's with these interesting leniencies of coming to a mitzvah, going to a shir? Says the Ran, Pigisoy, we have this concept, most famously, by Chalamoid. By Chalamoid, we have this concept that what? That the Torah, the Malacha on Yom Tov is Asa Midaraisa. Malachas on Chalamoid are Asa Midaraisa. But the Torah gave over to the Chacham to define which Malachas will be Mutter and which not. I mean, there's, of course, Eichel Nefesh is Mutter even on Yom Tov itself. But on Chol HaMoed, there's a further leniency, a further relaxation, whether it's Davar Avad, whether it's, you know, the few ideas, the few types of melachos that the Chachamim were making on Chol HaMoed, but the idea is that it was not pshat, that it's Mutter Midaraisa, no Issur Melacha, and Rabbanan just made some Isurim. The basic malach is how some learn, I should say, but the other malach is, very popular malach in the Shainim, is that it's all Asma Deraisa, but it was Nitan L'Chacham. You find this by a few cases, a few mitzvahs in the Torah, not many, it's not so common. The Torah has a full Issa Deraisa, but it was Nitan to the Chachamim to define what the Issa is. So here too, says the Ran, the Chachamish Inuyim are Deraisa, but it was given over to Chachamim to define what they are, or which cases would have leniencies. There is discussion also about whether or not there's an Issa on hot water only, or even cold water. Pashtas, the whole the tainug, is warm water. You don't find elsewhere cold water being considered. I mean, if a person is boiling hot, the mission in Shabbos, it discusses going into cold water in Shabbos, which you're allowed to do, even though you're not allowed to bathe, but going into cold water is kemekar, to cool off, is actually mutter. But the chara else tainug and inoy, cold water pashtas would not be a problem. But it seems like even if you hold that the inoyim at the rabbanan, certainly if it's deraisa, the rabbanan added in, not using cold water on Yom Kippur, just to be safe, not even use cold water, but pashas, if it's teresa, the initial isser would only be under on hot water, not on cold water. Now, on the case of the Rebbe going to Talmud, the Gemara leaves it unresolved. The Gemara leaves it unresolved, and the Rebbe paskins, okay, therefore the Chumra, a Rebbe should not go and visit a Talmud. Problem is, Frektatas and the Riff, we'll just leave the question. They give answers, but it's a Shmak, a question based on our knowledge over here, says the Taz, Riff subscribes to the opinions that the other four Inuyim are rabbinic, not teresa. Our Gemara left it unresolved whether Rebbe can go visit the Talmud through water or it's a problem of Rechitza and he can't go. It's a suffix in a Dirabanan. Suffix Dirabanan, we go Lakula. How's the Rif Paskin, the other four Inuim are Dirabanan, and still Paskin over here in our Gemara, Lachumra, that Rebbe came to the Talmud? It's a Frektataz, again, just fitting very well with our overall discussion about whether the other Inuim are Dirabanan or Dirabanan. Before we go further, one last point before we go further, the Gemara discusses going to a shir, traveling to Rabbi Yosef to go to a shir, traveling back home after the shir. We pointed out before, again, it seems to be quite different than our seder. Again, b'chlal, we don't seem to put that much of emphasis, not that chas v'shalom we discourage learning on Yom Kippur, but to us, the Avodas Hashem is tefillah, I'm begging for our lives, I'm begging for forgiveness, that seems to be the Avodas Hashem. But I had a story, many years ago with Rabbi Hirschman Shlita, that when I started, it was right towards the beginning, when I started giving Daf Yomi in Viewmount, it was roughly about 16, 17 years ago, So I was davening in the kollel then. They had a Vasikin minion downstairs. I was davening in that minion, and I wanted to go and do a shir in the afternoon in between. There's a long break. The Vasikin actually has a decent-sized break. But even in the shul of Viewmat, they still had a two-hour break, so I wanted to give a dafyami there. The problem is they started mincha in the Viewmat later than in the kollel. The kollel is davening a little bit slower. So if I go give the shir there till mincha over there, in the Viewmat, I wouldn't be able to make it back for davening in the kollel where I prefer to daven on Yom Kippur. So I asked him, I said, what's the better thing to do? It's one day a year. The guys can make up the daf. Right? Do I go to give a daf yomi share? And also, Yom Kippur is the day of daf. It's the day of davening. Or do I stay in daven in the place where I want to daven? But if I, you know, because if I give the share there, I can't come back for davening here. I can daven there. You know, it's not the end of the world. But I can't come back for davening here. So he said to me that he had a story himself with Reb Aaron Cutler, Chazal, that without getting into the nuance of the story, but basically, Reb Aaron had him do a chesed to help someone else daven on the first night of Rosh Hashanah. And it shared his own davening. His own davening, he said he ended up like being busy with the chesed. It was a packed base medrash, small base medrash. He ended up schwitzing till he got his place, till he ended up getting his davening. It really it had a detrimental effect on his tefillah the first night of Rosh Hashanah. It bothered him initially very much. Like, it's very nice to chesed, but it's Rosh Hashanah, davening, and it messed up his own davening. What was the cheshbon? And I don't think he approached Reb Aaron about it. He said he came to the Akara fairly shortly afterwards, that Reb Aaron was teaching him that you think your tefillah in yeshiva and Lakewood is incredible, is the best thing in the world. And maybe it's great, but you know what's clearly the best thing in the world? Chesed. Chesed is unbreakable. Chesed, there's no doubt that your chesed is good. So therefore, you do the chesed for this guy. Hopefully your tefillah will still work out well, very well. Don't be so worried about what you think is so perfect about your tefillah, which is a chiddush, because it's a yam of tefillah. That was the message. So his message to me was, Torah we know is Torah. You can't mess with Torah. Torah we know is mashah patuah patuah. You go give a shir, you go learn daf yomi. And you think you're davening so much better than that? Yeah, maybe it is better. So what? You give the shir, mashah patuah, and you daven over there. So we've been doing it so far for the past 16 years and change. COVID was a little different. But okay, fine. Says the word further. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda, Havakayim Aguda Denar. There's a girsa, we're going to be girsa it, Papa Amavra de Chatzad. They were standing next to the riverbank, the bank of the river of Papa, by the Chatzad cross. Or crossing. Vavikoi Rami bar Papa Mahachadisa, and Rami bar Papa was standing on one side of the river, and Ram Lukala, he shouted to them, Mashaila, Mao Lamever, Lamesi Lagabaych, Lamishishmaita, Bizan Yom Kippur. Unbelievable, like it doesn't seem like things that we have on Yom Kippur today or whoever else. Shouting from one side of the river, the other river, can I come ask you a Shaila? So the obvious sign is, well, if you can shout that, just shout the Shaila. But I guess it wasn't the comfort level to shout the Shaila across the river. Amar Lei Rav Yehuda, Rav Shmuel Dami Tavayu, Oyver, Rav Shmuel both said, no problem, pass. You want to come ask a Shaila? Pass through the water. Uvashle de Yaitzi, Yadim Tachas Chayfas Chalukas. Now we have a new qualification. Come past the water, but don't take your hand out from under the hem. Meaning, don't lift up like your talus. You know the way like some less affiliated people wear like talisim almost like a scarf. So that's usually very, very thin talisim. But you could also wear a regular talus, just fold it up and wear it, you know, fold it over the neck. Don't do that because that appears like carrying. The way to wear a shawl, back in the day, especially they used to have shawls, they used to wear it just by davening, they used to wear it wrapped around their body at large. To fold it up, which you may do because you don't want it to get wet in the water, is going to be more like a nira, but maybe even actual carrying. You're just carrying it in order that it shouldn't get wet, and therefore it's a problem. So come across, but don't fold it upwards. Ikadami some say, Amar Shmuel bar Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said, Tanina, we learned it in a Braisa, not for Rav Shmuel, it's a Braisa. Every lad to pass through. But as long as you don't bring your arm up from under the hem of the garment, which would mean folding it upwards, same idea again, because I said before, it looks like carrying, that is one of the pshatim, and we'll say that again. There's another pshat that I left out. The other pshat is, there's a concern about schita. If you go with the beged and you leave it hanging down, it's so nicker, the fact that you're just letting it soaked, that you're letting it be wet, that you can't deal with it, and you're not going to be seichet it. But if you lift it up to avoid it getting wet, and some of it gets wet, you know what you may do? You may squeeze it out. So it was more of a hecker. It was a reminder to be concerned about schita. Okay, says Gemara, let's go drop further. Maskot Yosef, uvechol ke'agav mishari. What about during the week? You're talking about going up to water. We keep talking about going into water up to the neck, up to the neck, up to the neck. Are you allowed to? But look what happens in this... In this pasuk over here, Vachsiv, the pasuk says, "This is in Yecheskel." Vachsiv, "Vayamet elef ba'ama, ve'arini ma'im me'afasim, mekachem et laver adafasayim." So he measured 1,000 amas, and he led me across the water, which is ankle deep. You see, you let it go into water up to the ankles, no problem. In water, another 1,000 amas of length, and we walked in waters up to the knees. Nu, mekacha betlaver, abrakayim. That's the source that's permitted to walk through waters that is up to the knees. Vayamin elef, fairvani b'mayim b'snayim. And then we continued, measured another 1,000, and he walked me through waters that were up to the waist. Mekacha betlaver, amasnayim, up to the waist. Mekam veilech. Then it says he measured another 1,000, which I couldn't cross. Water above the waist already is too dangerous to cross. And here we're saying back and forth. Matter of fact, we're discussing whether it's a problem of rechitza on Yom Kippur, but we're certainly not addressing the fact that he goes through waters up to the neck. Why is it not a problem? This is talking about the nachal that was emanating, coming out, flowing from the base of English in the Kesher Kedoshim. That nachal is different. You know why? Through Difim Mayim, because the waters flowed very swiftly. Those are swift waters. Those are more dangerous, going in such waters at a high level, way above the waist. That was dangerous. But regular waters that are calm, that aren't moving, you're just walking through them, that you can walk in waters that are as high as the neck, and not a problem. The Gemara now, once we quoted this, the Gemara discusses this, again, the stream that came from the Kesher Kedoshim. Yachi Avreni B'sichai, I would think, okay, water above the waist, you can't walk with your feet. But maybe you could cross it with like intent of swimming. Tam Lemer, Ki Goyim Mayim Me'sachu. And we darshan, what is Mayim Me'sachu, what does it mean? Shiyuta, swimming waters, concurrently Shiyuta Saicha, like they call, the people call swimming Saicha. So the Pasuk says it swelled the waters into waters that were fit for swimming, but it couldn't be crossed. I mean, it sounds like even with, it's deep enough to swim, but still, because it was moving so quickly, you shouldn't even swim across such waters. Okay. Maybe you could pass the stream through with a small boat. That's safe enough. The Pasuk says, I'm a shayat, I can't traverse these waters, even in a small boat. I can't go through these swift moving waters. So maybe you can go through with a big ship. The Pasuk says that a tziadir cannot cross it. Tziadir means a large boat. How do you see that? My mashma. The fishing boat can't travel across these waters. Uburni Rabasi, and a large ship also, late to Xena, shouldn't go through these waters as well. Could be a large ship, it's too big to go through it. By the way, these waters aren't fit for large ships, small boats, not fit for either. This swift-flowing stream that came in Kesher Kedoshim. Let's see, the Gemara is going to continue on this topic all the way to tomorrow's Amud. Let's just see one more Gemara about this. Amar Vidim and Pazi, Af Malach HaMavis, Ein Lo Rishis Lav Basech. Even the Malach HaMavis can't go through these waters, the stream. Kisivacha, Baltelech Boi Ani Shayet, as we just quoted. Kisivasam, it says over there, about the Malach HaMavis, Mishut Aretz, Lashon of Shut, Shayet. Mishadaritz, we darshan that the Machmavis also can't traverse these waters, again, the waters of this stream that came from the Kodesh Kodashim. The Mar is going to continue to describe the stream. We'll leave that for tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. Have a wonderful evening.